Good morning, Larry Richard with Eggerman, Paul Rasmussen. Property tax increases, anytime you hear that, that has a very swift reaction by many people, say, oh, don't do that. So in Allegheny County Executive Sarah Anna Murata, when she proposed the budget, had a 46.5% property tax in there to cover a $80 million shortfall projected for the next fiscal year.
But then last night, we heard from the county manager that if they don't get the increased tax revenue they're looking for, they're going to have to take $250 million from the budget.
Okay, how's that work?
I'm not quite sure. But it's apocalyptic, and he used the word catastrophic.
That is a word.
So now, on the one hand, they're saying that this is only $15 a month for the average taxpayer. But on the other hand, they're talking about these big numbers. You know, it's a little hard to make sense of it.
Well, and this is on top of Allegheny County Council pushing back on the tax in the first place.
Yeah, some of them say it should be half as much.
So that conversation will continue in an effort to try to figure out how to fill the shortfall. But $250 million seems like a stretch.
If you have a projected $81 million deficit to
originally
fill. I don't know. This could be, there could be very good reasons for that. I'm not entirely sure. But it did get my attention. The first thing that got my attention when I got into the office this morning was the fact that they had their third, I think it's the final budget hearing that the council has before they start to do their work, whatever that's going to be.
And Sarah Anna Murata at one point did say, okay, what's your plan? So we'll see.
And Pat Catena proposed, you know, before she said that even, proposed, you know, not increasing spending by 3% and making some budget cuts.
Budget cuts?
Wow. Spend less money.
All right, we'll see where that goes and we'll keep you posted. Meanwhile, the election drones on for another 5 days, take us into Tuesday, and the candidates continue to crisscross the region or their surrogates.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, Senator Chris Coons from Delaware was a guest with Michael Bartley, and he was campaigning for the Harris campaign. And then we had the Senate candidate, the challenger, the Republican, Dave McCormick, was in Warrendale with Nikki Haley. So they had a rally there, and I have now that Bob Casey is going to go out with John Fetterman today and have rallies, in Allegheny, Washington, and Westmoreland counties today. So the Senate campaign is really focused here.
Dave McCormick and Nikki Haley were at Jurgles, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
Up in Warrendale.
Yeah.
It's a performance site, a destination place for many, but usually to see musical acts.
Right.
And as we mentioned yesterday, they most recently opened Donnie Iris's King Cool Cigar Bar. Don't know if
right.
Dave and Nikki went in for a quick one, but
a stogie.
A stogie, which are called stogies. I learned this at the Heinz History Center because they used to be brought here, cigars, by Conestoga wagons.
Oh, okay. Now we know.
That's how you got the name, nickname, stogie. Which is,
I always wondered about that.
Some people use to refer to cigars, particularly those old big cigars. You know, like the picture of Art Rooney, the chief, would always have that cigar.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Now, there was an eruption yesterday of allegations about voter fraud and registration problems, and the county quickly responded. Even the state had a news conference yesterday talking about, you know, is this, can we count on it, you know, or is it, you know, but the questions have already started coming up about
right.
whether or not the results are going to be, you know, that we can trust the results and the allegations of fraud and so on. So,
well, all now, the polls suggest that statistical, you know, margins of error. Either way, it looks like a dead heat. So one side feels good, the other side feels good. We'll see what happens.
Sure.
And then
yeah.
whoever doesn't win will no doubt say somehow they were cheated.
Yeah, hopefully not. Man, hopefully it'll be enough of a margin of victory that it won't be a problem. But
meanwhile, baseball, Paul.
And I think that for fans of baseball in Pittsburgh, last night was a bitter pill to swallow for some of my friends on social media who were saying basically that the teams with the two biggest payrolls were competing for the world title again. It all came down to that.
Start the party, Los Angeles! Your Dodgers have won the World Series!
Start the party, L.A. Yeah, and
I mean, they've got one player on their team that's making $700 million.
Good God. And a former Pirate pitching, Gerrit Cole, last night.
Had a bad night last night.
Oh, well. And
the Yankees had a bad night last night. A five-run lead they blew.
They blew a five-run lead at home and ended up losing 7-6. The Dodgers win it 4-1, and that's their second time in, what, the last 8 years. And the Yankees now have not won a World Series in 15. For them, that's a long time.
Yeah, but they've been to the World Series their fair share, even better than their fair share.
Will the Pirates ever get a chance to go back to the World Series? That's a rhetorical question.
I think that's, you know, I think we all know the answer to that question right now.
Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather, and high school football. We got our first playoff. Yeah, Penn Hills and Moon this Friday night. And the Sward Out Financial pregame show starts at 6. And Friday Night Lights. The game of the week is powered by Bowser's Chevrolet, and Dan Zangrilli, Johnny Lee, and Donnie Football do a great job, Paul.
They sure do, truly. So there is a really good article in the Post-Gazette today about the presidential race and the importance of the race in Pennsylvania in the big picture. And they have a graphic here that I'd like to just share a couple of quick observations with you. Most visited states since July 21st, Pennsylvania's first on the list with 63.
Wow.
63. That breaks down 16 for Harris, 14 for Waltz, 21 for Trump, and 12 for Vance. The next closest state is Michigan with 41. And if you go to the cities, the 10 most visited cities as of October 25th, Philadelphia's first on the list with 12, Pittsburgh has 9. Las Vegas is third with 8. So it gives you some idea of how 21 visits to the two big cities in Pennsylvania compared to the next biggest total is 8 in Las Vegas.
Yeah, curious Las Vegas of all places.
Well, that's Harris County. That's where the vast majority of Nevada's voters live.
I know, but I mean, of all the cities on earth, Las Vegas?
Well, they can go either way.
Yeah, but I mean, how many electoral college votes are there?
I'm not sure.
I just think Vegas, they wanted an excuse to go to Vegas and party.
Well, it could be. Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is Halloween, and for the first time in almost 100 years, speaking of cities, Iowa City will have trick-or-treating on this day. Since 1938, Paul, kids in Des Moines have been going out for candy on what they call Beggar's Night, which is the night before Halloween, also known as Devil's Night.
Right.
Back then, 1938, Iowa City officials were trying to crack down on vandalism during the holiday, officially calling it hooliganism due to the severe weather they're having out there. They moved trick-or-treating to the actual day of Halloween tonight.
That's interesting. I lived in Iowa City for a time.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh. In 1980, Hayden Fry had just taken over the football program. They had just finished their new arena. But I don't recall that part of life in Iowa City.
Yeah, they didn't.
I'm sure it was on my radar at some point. I just forgot.
And there are some very religious people that don't buy into the Halloween thing because they say it's a pagan holiday.
Well, there are people in churches who have a celebration for the kids, and it's different, you know, they go at it from a different angle.
I remember seeing duct tape on a doorbell with a handwritten sign that said, no candy here. <That's>... Meanwhile, I have another story completely unrelated but really important for anybody that's planning to travel by air.
Oh, you got my attention.
We all know that there have been many issues with flight delays and cancellations in particular since COVID. And airlines in the United States are now required to give passengers cash refunds if their flight is significantly delayed or canceled, even if that person does not explicitly ask for a refund.
I wonder how they're defining significant in this context.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. The Department of Transportation says the final federal rule requiring that airlines dole out refunds, not vouchers, went into effect Monday. The major change is being implemented only a month before the start of what is likely to be a huge, maybe record-setting, air travel holiday season. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg made the announcement after he first presented his proposal back in April. Quote, today, our automatic refund rule goes into full effect. Passengers deserve to get their money back when an airline owes them without headaches or haggling. The new rule mandates that refunds are automatically processed by an airline if a passenger's flight is canceled or significantly changed and they do not accept the significantly changed flight, rebooking on an alternate flight or alternate compensation.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Your typical plane, set, let's say 175 passengers, and let's just take an average round-trip airfare of $400. If the airline has to pay everybody, that's $70,000 on just one plane. And if you've got multiple problems, like remember that Southwest meltdown?
Yeah.
Look out.
A few holidays ago. So that's just a heads up. Now, the gray area is significantly delayed.
Right. I mean, is it so many hours?
We'll see.
Yeah.
They need to clarify that. But keep that in mind. That's a major, major change to your favor. Show Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen. Happy Halloween. A lot of kids are excited about it. A lot of adults, too. A lot of companies partake in parties and costume contests. And meanwhile, it may surprise you to learn that Halloween is a big issue when it comes to drinking and driving. It's a concern. It's right up there with New Year's Eve, believe it or not. And joining us is Sean Kelly, spokesperson with the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. Sean, good morning. Welcome back to KDKA.
Morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know that law enforcement, a lot of people, first and foremost, because a lot of kids, obviously, are going to be out and about this evening, and a lot of that starts at 5 o'clock, but concerns about driving while intoxicated, right?
Yeah, that is definitely a concern. And as we get started, I'd like to take a minute, and this is my first time on Pittsburgh media since the murder of the liquor control enforcement officer a couple weeks ago, and we want to pass our condolences off to his family and friends. It's important to note that the liquor control enforcement part of the Pennsylvania State Police, they're an important partner in making sure that licensees don't overserve. And as we get into this time of year, that is part of what we really want to talk about this morning. The weather has changed. People are inside more. They're gathering together more for your holidays like Halloween. You have Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas, New Year's, obviously. And as people get together and they start drinking, sometimes there's this tendency to overserve or overconsume, and that leads to some issues out on the roads, and that leads to some issues out in public as well. So the Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement and the Pennsylvania State Police, along with the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, we all kind of work together to make sure that there's responsible alcohol service out in the public.
And what kinds of things do you do to ensure that? I know getting the word out, like right now, just as a reminder to people, especially, again, because so many kids are going to be walking around the streets.
Well, speaking for the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, we do promote responsible consumption. Because people will be gathered together, we get a lot of questions from customers in our fine wine and good spirit stores about how do I know how much alcohol to have to a party. So we have tips on how to buy the right amount of alcohol. There's a party planning guide that we offer in our stores to help people figure out what the right number is so people don't have so much alcohol there. Our No One Know How campaign targets parents of younger kids so parents can have a conversation about responsible alcohol consumption and adult use to their kids. Because as kids hang around at home, they see their parents drinking, they see their parents' friends coming over, there's a party at the house, and a lot of times there's a question about, you know, what is alcohol? Why can't I drink this? Why are adults only supposed to drink this? So we promote responsible consumption, adult use consumption in a responsible manner in a variety of ways.
Sean, Paul Rasmussen here. I'm curious to know if the Liquor Control Board also reaches out to businesses that serve alcohol.
We handle the licensing side of things. The enforcement side of things is done by our partners at the Pennsylvania State Police Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement. We do work to provide a lot of signage. We provide responsible alcohol management program training for servers and sellers, for owners and managers. So when it comes to the enforcement side of things, that's the state police. So they'll be the ones looking for over service or underage service, after hours service. We kind of are more proactive in reaching out to the people who run license establishments and just make sure that they understand what their responsibilities are as liquor licensees.
And we also, Sean, want to express our sympathies for the family of Benjamin Brawler. What a tragedy that is, and to everybody who serves, and we appreciate you being on with us today and just want people to be safe and have a good time tonight. So thank you.
Sure. And it's important to note that as we do get into the cooler weather and people gather indoors, we really want to promote responsible alcohol consumption, especially in the presence of kids. You know, kids are going to be on the streets tonight, especially with warmer weather. We want to make sure that the adults who are supposed to be responsible are acting as responsibly as possible and really take the opportunity to use this and talk to your kids about alcohol and what it is and why they shouldn't be drinking until they reach the legal age of consumption.
Sean Kelly, Press Secretary of the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. Thanks again, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you both.
All right. And, Paul, there's a history of Pennsylvania's liquor laws that goes back before Prohibition. There was a governor, Clifford Pinchot, from 1923 to 38, had a dry stance on alcohol. And even as Prohibition was repealed, we maintained very strict laws, and up until fairly recently, they were considered some of the strictest in the nation.
I'll never forget moving to Pennsylvania from Montana, where I was living there. Beer was widely available. I mean,
right.
Grocery stores and other places. And ultimately, when I moved here, I was shocked that I had to buy a case of beer at a distributor.
Right.
And I thought, I'm completely unfamiliar with the idea.
Well, it was, you weren't ever allowed to buy alcohol on Sundays for a long stretch.
Right,
so
yeah.
Only recently. But just a heads up tonight for people headed out the door, you know, you just keep the kids in mind. Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania is presenting a Build On Career event. We're going to tell you all about it with Jeff Nobers, who is the executive director. In studio, very popular here. Jeff, you brought donuts on Halloween, and some of them are themed. Look at them. They come in like locusts once they
see. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
it's like locusts.
It's biblical almost. Meanwhile, appreciate you coming in. We'll talk about it. We have Post Malone here, Gail Berger from our country station. We have five radio stations, and I often tell people they are lined up like the Aqua Zoo, where, you know, you have the big glass, but in each tank is a different species of sorts.
That's true.
It's true. I've got a pair of tickets for you to see the red one. This is supposed to be the big blockbuster for the holiday season. starring The Rock. It's about Santa and a kidnapping. It's an action comedy, and it opens officially on the 15th of November, but you can see it first at AMC Waterfront Theater on the 12th. Two tickets. Caller number 7 at 412-922-1020. 412-922-1020.